Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I have to say, I always look forward to the end of the week, both Thursdays and Fridays, because I get to hang out with really cool people, just like I'm doing right now. And Tom, it's nice to see you upright and coherent, although it would have been great to have stoned Tom on the show. It's great
I
to have you back.
should
How are you?
thank you. I'm doing good. I should have taken some of the narcotics before the show.
You know, that just seems reasonable under any
Any
circumstances.
yeah. To be fair, I got a prescription for painkillers, some sort of opioids, but I never used them. The pain wasn't bad at all. Arthroscopic surgery is a miracle of modern medicine.
Oh, it is. Yes. I'm glad you got to keep all of your appendages.
Yes. And I'll save that prescription, those pills for another
For a
occasion, I
party.
guess. Right. Next party.
Right? Okay. Party at Tom's
St.
and
Patrick's Day at my house.
yeah. Yep. And that gives you just enough time to get your tickets and get over here. Yeah. Speaking of Ian, how are you?
Mate, I'm great. I'm great. Coming to the end of another week, which is nice. We taught a new class we've been building on Proxmox. That was fun. So now winding down the week of the after a first beta class, it's kind of you and then have the how did that go then? I mean, we got good NPS. People enjoyed what we were doing, but there's still some elements of stuff where we need to go. That might need to actually be longer than just one day class. So re-architecting stuff. All good fun. I've
So
frozen though, it appears in video. Oh no, I'm back again.
you're back.
I'm back.
I want to call out cute British pronunciations. Beta. I know what that means.
Not
In
beta,
the
that's wrong.
United States, beta. Yep.
It's wrong. It's wrong. Just as long as you know it's wrong, that's I mean it's There's fine. only
It,
one. you There's
might
only say things one
wrong, but
E.
It's
wrong.
There's
It's
no. There's
beta.
only one E in beta. But there's also only one T, so should it be a hard E?
Oh, that's true. Yes, he should.
And
I refer the
yet,
language generally to the Greeks who invented the language and then got it right, and then you just silly buggers can't say it right.
we're
That's really
rebels
the way
to
it
the
goes.
core.
I heard a reporter on the BBC say, "We say contribute," and she said contribute.
Contribute, yeah.
So it's even the emphasis on the syllables is interesting differences. It's like the Contribute. privacy and privacy. Yeah, right.
That's the other one where two sides of that, two countries separated by common language.
And we won't even talk about schedule.
No, don't talk about schedule. Never mind manners. Having seen recent news events and recently, I'm not sure you figured that one out either now. Sad but true. Oh.
And I'll say no more. I see a Roman emperor playing a violin.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that checks out.
it checks out. That's about the size of what I thought. Yeah, I don't
I
see
mean,
any, I don't see the flames yet, but I hear the violin.
no. Yeah, I do fear that the next few years where I live will be very difficult on my liver. Just saying.
That's one way to look at it. That's definitely one way
Yeah.
to look at it.
Yeah, but on a happier note, we should probably talk about some tech news.
Let's do some
Yeah,
tech.
that's more interesting. Well, from one lot of man babies to another, I think in some ways, I'm going to talk a bit about if of course you haven't beaten me to it there. With the link, I was about to drop it in, and I've my windows have all gone windowy. And there we go. This is riveting.
There we go. Really good video. There we
Here
go.
we go.
Here we go, and it's Mozilla Firefox. Firefox have
I'm
updated. Have
glad
updated
someone
their
brought
EULA.
this.
Updated their EULA. And part of it contained in fairly, I think they may have copied and pasted their EULA from somewhere else and then go, oh, works. Which is when you upload or import information through Firefox, you hereby grant us a non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide license to use that information to help you navigate, experience, and interact online with the content as you indicate with your use of Firefox. To which the world's tinfoil-hatted man baby said, oh, all my data will be stolen by Firefox. And we all sighed and go, yes, you can tick two boxes in the settings and they won't take it anymore. That's fine. But I've seen increasingly things like because I like browsers and things like that. I'm in a Facebook Reddit group, which not a Facebook, but a Reddit group on browsers, where there's lots of people. What do I do now? What do I do now? Should I not stop using Firefox? Oh, for God's sake! And then we go to the other side of it, where I was looking at YouTube and two or three of the techie YouTubers I follow. Firefox is going to steal your data. Oh, hey, Jesus Christ! But yes, it feels like a bunch of man babies, in all honesty, bleating about the next latest thing. I mean, all right, I can hold my hands up to bleating like a man baby that this week, when Google Chrome decided that uBlock Origin is not a permitted tool anymore, and my call thing will relate directly to what you can do instead. But Jesus, it's so Firefox now is my preferred browser if I'm using Windows, I think, really. It's the best of a bad bunch. I can still continue to ad block. I can still continue to use plugins as I see fit. And it's still the closest thing we have to something that isn't tied to the behemoth that is ABC Corp Google. Alphabet, rather, but it's rant over.
While I think the backlash may have been overblown, I do see where there is legit concern. Now, today, right now, and for the foreseeable future, even before Firefox or Mozilla backtracked on that wording in the EULA, of course, they weren't going to be taking your data and using it, selling it, and but there aren't other browsers that have that same wording in it, and it's clearly just boilerplate EULA text that ended up in there. And then the other concern before they fixed the wording is that just because they aren't going to do the bad thing today doesn't mean that down the road they wouldn't have leadership that would say, you know, we've got the license to do this, and so we are, and here's how we're going to make more money. So I'm glad they changed it, but I think in the interim there was a lot of unnecessary concern.
Yeah, I think lots of man babies bleating. And if you go here, and I'm going to put the link in the chat, and you're about preferences, privacy, you can deal with it. You can uncheck all the boxes, and then that's no longer a thing you have to concern yourself with. So, yeah, and
I'm sure almost 100% that this was, boilerplate stuff. They have lawyers on staff. Okay, here's the language that you use, copy paste. That's one thing. Number two, I agree with Ian that Firefox is kind of the best of the worst. I use Firefox on Windows as well. And like you say, they give you a lot of control in the options in the about part for a lot of things, not just the privacy that I appreciate. And I certainly feel better about using Firefox than Chrome or Edge. But at the end of the day, somehow Mozilla has to make money. And if they're going to use my information, hopefully they use it in a totally obfuscated way so nobody knows it's me. But if they want to collect data, sort of, what do they call that, where it's not identifiable and sell it to somebody as
Anonymized.
such, anonymized, thank you, and sell it to somebody, I'm okay. And to be honest, it's not like Google that's going to use the money for ads and do all that crazy stuff. If they sell my data that somehow identifies me to a data broker, you know what? That data broker already probably has my information anyway.
That is
So
the thing. It's a lot of very much, I don't care how clever you think you've been of hiding your tracks on the internet. Your data's out there. Your browsing habits, your data is in some way out there. I definitely think the horse has not only bolted, the door slammed, and it's now halfway over three hedges and somewhere towards the next city. You know, it really is for the majority of your average user. So your average user going, oh, I must stop using Firefox, really. Get a break. Carry on. It's really not going to make that much difference. I can see, though, from not us going political again, but with the way the world is changing, certainly in your part of the world where 1933 sounds more like a an idea that's coming more real by the moment, that I can understand why some folk particularly are concerned about what's happening and want to remain as minimize the footprint as possible. But even so, I don't know whether they've done enough work already beforehand for that even to be a reality.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, given my demographics and social class, since I'm not a target of the Nazi administration, I'm less worried about it. If I was in one of those target groups, I would probably behave very differently online, to be fair.
This is the
But
sort
for
of
me,
time
it's,
when.
you know, I guess I'm, you know, certainly lucky and privileged to not be in their radar, at least not yet. I'm sure they'll find a reason to target
They
me,
always
but
find a reason.
they find a reason, yeah. You know, I don't like to capitulate to this stuff and just have my private data all over in the hands of all these data brokers, but you know, there is some level of common sense where you just have to accept the fact that if you're online, there's some amount of your data that's going to get out.
Which it's unfortunate that that's something that we all just sigh and accept.
It is pretty sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that Mozilla could have done that I think would have appeased a lot of people was when they backtracked on their wording in the EULA, is if they had explicitly stated in the EULA that they will not sell your personal information.
Right.
They did not add that in,
For the
and
reasons I think you said earlier on at the start when we started talking about this, that I don't think they want to rule it out from there, from a potential option in the future if they need it. Because we know, I mean, if you want nice things, they do. Sadly, if you want nice things, they do cost money in some form or another. You do have to engage, and if you're allowing some of your clicks to be used as to fund advertising revenue, then so be it. If it means you can continue having an alternate browser that isn't tied into any of the other Microsoft or Google infrastructures.
Right.
You know, do that. Is that are people prepared? And I don't think they are to start paying money for, in the same way they're not for a search engine to pay money for using a browser that would keep their confidentiality. I don't know now, maybe that may start to change as, again, the world changes and we want to be able to more isolate ourselves from what people can pry into. Who knows?
Well, I think there's a growing interest in proactively limiting our online footprints from even average people, because you can now just go online and buy a Pi-hole appliance. And for the people that don't know, Pi-hole is open source software that you can run on a bunch of different platforms that acts as your own firewall for trackers and cookies, and so it really helps limit how much information about you is being collected. So yeah,
Indeed.
you can right now just go online and buy a box that's I don't know what hardware is inside. It might just be a Raspberry Pi.
It makes sense. It can run on that. That's why it's called Pi-hole.
Yeah. And you plug it into your network, use a little web interface, set it up, and let it do its thing. I did I have one running myself, not a purchased appliance. I just took one of my old Raspberry Pis and installed Pi-hole on it. and then added Cloudflare. Not Cloudflare, Cloudflared. It's from Cloudflare, which allows me to add DOH on top of that. So, DNS over HTTPS.
Yeah.
And
That's quite nice.
that's pretty cool. But
That is
I,
pretty
you know, the
cool.
fact that people have enough of an interest that there's a market to be able to just go online and buy that pre-configured in a little box that you just add to your network and go. That does tell me that there's a growing interest in proactively limiting
Yeah.
your online footprint.
So does that, do you see any side effects of using that box? Does anything break?
Yes, some things will break. Although the things that have broken for me haven't been things that actually mattered. It was more like a revelation, like, hey, check it out. This website, I can't even think of one off the top of my head. Oh yeah, it was a website that provides a service that I use for part of the business stuff that I do.
Yeah.
And I'm not calling them out because it may turn out that the problem really is me. But once I set up my pie hole,
Yeah.
their website immediately broke. And
Huh.
I could get parts of it to load intermittently, but without whitelisting everything that they have associated with their domain, I can't find any other way to use their site and service.
But you haven't found many cases like that.
No. And it's obvious when I'm using something that is bypassing the usual routes for inserting ads and other content. Flipboard, for example, all of the ads and other content that are showing up in the content you're seeing in Flipboard, that's getting injected through the website serving the content before it ever gets to me. So it's already in line when a page loads inside Flipboard. And so it's amazing to see just how unreadable and unusable so many news sites are because of all of the extra content that's just being dumped into the pages.
Yeah, I use a similar tool, which I'll talk about as a cool thing later. But literally, you end up with gaps on news sites, and I no longer
Oh,
get
yeah.
those hateful things that follow me down the page. That's why I can't read the article text behind, and that's all just wonderful. There's websites I can't use when I'm not at home because it's just impossible to
Yes.
read the news articles, you
Yes.
know. And so it's incredible. The latest thing I've managed to add to this, is Admiral is an ad blocker vendor that provides a service that sits in front of a number of companies' websites. So if you go to a page, it goes, "Oh, it's you're using an ad blocker. Please disable before continuing." And we went, "No, I don't want to disable it." Well, I have filters and a rule install now where it just doesn't exist anymore, and you can just carry on to the site. I mean, it's not going to lift a paywall because that's not what it's intended for, but it does mean that insidious nonsense like the Admiral pop-ups that are preventing you from looking at the content because they want to serve you ads, you've now got control of that because that's still something where you can opt into. So I'm choosing to not have that whole nonsense appear, and it does mean now that I can get to any site that has that in front of it now. That's quite that was a something I figured out this week with a couple of judicious bits of blocking and allowing and things and stuff, and that's really quite nice.
It is okay, but it brings up a moral dilemma, which is the sites that are creating an experience where it's practically impossible to read their content, forcing us to have to do things to block all of that extra stuff just so we can see an article. When we're doing that, we are depriving them of revenue. So we are, in essence, stealing the news articles and blog posts from those sites. So is it okay for us to be doing that? On the other hand, it's the only way we can actually see the content.
Yeah, you see,
Right.
if you could let me read the content with a small add or two on the page, I'd probably tolerate it. But it's those floating stupid things that follow you down the page when you're trying to read the bit of advert, and you have to keep clicking on the little close to get rid of the video or whatever. Some of the tech sites are notorious for those ones, where they want to show you a video of some content or another they'd like you to look at. Go away, I'll look at it if I want to, you know. And so there's a balance. If I'm interested, I'm going to look at you. Shoving it in my face isn't going to make me look at it, and I'm probably not alone in that view. You know, it's and if you're going to allow me to read the content, I'm going to read more of your content. But if you're going to make my job, if you're going to make my time more difficult by navigating around and particularly if I'm on a phone, that's even worse, of trying to get around the little floating various things and tap the exact bit of the screen that makes it go away. I can't read the news article I'm interested in. I can't consume your content that you want me to consume. You know.
One idea would be for the optimal ad blocker is it would somehow evaluate a page, and if the ad content was reasonable, it didn't cover
Oh,
the
yeah.
actual body of it and whatever, it wouldn't block ads. But if you went to a site where it had the really bad ad intrusive ads, it would block the ads. I wonder if it's
Yes.
possible to discriminate nice static on the side ads from, the whack-a-mole ads.
I mean, that sounds like a
That
job for
is
AI.
that, yeah, is that possible, do you think? Is there a different attribute for that object in HTML
Yeah,
language that you
there
could
would
look
be.
for?
Well, I
There would
mean,
be, wouldn't there?
everything's possible with enough money and time.
Yeah, true.
I would speculate right now that it would put a very heavy processing load
Oh,
on the
right.
sites.
Probably.
And so I think in the end, right now, and I'm not saying this as judgment in any way, just an observation. I think if you could figure out how to do it right now, it would probably be like some PHP Java thing where it's having to do a lot of heavy lifting on the client side. And ultimately you'd end up with a web page that loads significantly slower
Right,
because it's
that's
having to
probably
do all this
true.
extra processing. Now, once you figured it out, then you can start working on making it efficient.
Performance, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of if, the pseudo language is if this page contains whack-a-mole ads, then block ads. Else, don't block ads.
It's, yeah.
Now, and then the next step would be, and for the ads you are block or that you are allowing, block trackers associated with those
Oh,
ads.
right. You'd have to do
But then
that
you have to
too.
figure out how do you allow the ad to still register as being delivered without having a tracker.
So they get
So you have to
paid.
figure out what kinds of trackers you're blocking and allowing.
So, Jeff, you're saying my simplistic view of this may not be realistic.
I love your simplistic view of this, and I fully endorse it. And I would be totally on board if someone could figure out a
Right.
reliable way to do exactly what you're asking for.
It's nice to be on the pseudo coders podcast with y'all today.
Right.
Web
And
page pseudo
Patrice is about to
coders.
show up, and she's probably going to say, "Oh my
What?
God, you idiots. You have
Right.
no idea what
Pretty
you're talking about."
much. And you're still in browsers after half an hour. Not quite.
Yes, but we
Right.
are ad blocking now.
Patrice,
Yes.
how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I just literally just worked, walked home, stopped by the supermarket to come here, and had a quick little tiny dinner, and now I'm here. I have no article prepared because I'll do that in a second.
It doesn't matter. The fact that you were here is treat enough. Also, I love the lighting in the
It's
space you're in. It gives you
fine.
this really fun sepia tone
Yeah, it's
thing
that
going
sepia
on.
tone.
I'm achieving. I have in my Amazon
basket, shopping basket already, one of those key light minis from Elgato,
Oh,
because I need
nice.
to. But I forgot to order it, and then of course I remembered on Sunday, and yeah, good luck trying to order anything on Sunday in Germany or in Austria.
Oh, right.
You know, the US it would have been, oh, 2 hour delivery, not a problem.
Well, it's
But
the upside is that we get Victoria and Patrice today.
yeah, you do.
We do.
You do. I could turn this off, but then it's also not better.
Go back to your Victorian lighting. It works. So Patrice joining us from the old country.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, Portugal, part of the old empire and part of like discovering America.
It's
Their fault.
So Patrice, you caught us right as we were
Yeah,
wrapping
hold
up
it.
our
Very first article.
longer than
By
expected
the way,
discussion about
yes.
the Mozilla Firefox EULA.
By the way, I already have the first show title. It's Ian's Man Babies.
I'm writing that one down.
And I've already written it down. That was
Love
great.
it.
Great discussion,
I also wrote down Victoria and Patrice.
though. That's not bad
Oh.
either. That's not
So,
bad either.
all right. Well, then, Tom, why don't we move on to your story? And I actually have to scroll back up to find it. There we go.
Okay. And later maybe we can have Patrice check our pseudocode.
I'll do it. Okay.
So my story is quite a bit similar to Ian's, and it's a little bit about a rush to judgment and outrage. And it's about brother laser printers and whether or not they're blocking third-party toner and ink cartridges. So a little bit of history about, of course, everybody knows about printers and HP that won't allow third-party ink cartridges and so on, and people being outraged about that. And then there was sort of a trend towards the second half of 2024, and people said, just buy a Brother printer. If you need a printer, buy a Brother. They work. They don't have the IP protected cartridges and so on, and they're a reasonable company. And so this YouTuber named Lewis Rossman posted a video saying with the latest firmware update on his Brother laser printer, it won't allow him to use third-party cartridges anymore or refills. And he went through a bunch of things, and things like it would the color registration process that you do after you put a new cartridge in won't work with third-party cartridges and so on. Well, turns out Brother, obviously caught wind of this on social media and said, no, that's not the case. And it sounds like it's very possible this person was confused about what happens during troubleshooting or maybe setup when you put a new cartridge in, where the script behind the software is saying something about recommending Brother cartridges from Brother only, and he may have misinterpreted what that was saying or something. But I think the overall point is, again, sort of a rush to judgment. A YouTuber doing something that was probably reasonable to make people aware of, but it would have been nicer if somebody did a deeper dive before the whole world went crazy. So we have the internet cycle of, outrage for a day and a half, and then a reasonable response, and then everybody just walks away. I guess there's no
And
story
the next
there.
thing comes along.
A memory-psyched goldfish.
Lewis Rossman is an interesting character. He's kind of part man baby that shouts at the internet an awful lot, but he's also been one of the big guys behind the Right to Repair campaigns. And his business is repairing MacBooks, as in board level repair MacBook stuff. He did loads of videos. I watched quite a few of them back in the day. And he's surprisingly well informed on a lot of this stuff. However, he probably is quite prone, I guess, to jumping in first, feet first, before really thinking about stuff. So I guess this is yet another man baby shouting at the internet problem. Particularly where I see, I mean, Brother is one of those printer companies where generally I say, if you're going to buy one, yeah, that's a decent product that isn't going to be annoying. We used to,
I have
in a
one.
company years ago, a company I worked for, when I did more sort of end user support, we always recommended Brother because it was the least amount of aggravation for us. Because we could sell one, it would disappear off to a customer, we'd never see it again. There we go, therefore job done, not like the HPs where we saw again. Most of it came flying through the window or out of their window onto the street below, you know. I mean, HP have got a whole advertising campaign for that at the moment. I don't know if you've seen that. They keep getting YouTube advert pop up of various ones of people get it's normally quite not quite nicely shot advert, and then someone crying in the sat there, and all I wanted you to do was print, and then the sound of it being tossed out of the window or whatever, you know. And they're quite funny, but it's true. It even HP don't get it right on that score, and I think Brother is one of the better. I've always thought it was one of the good guys in terms of this stuff, so I'd be surprised.
You know,
I
for
mean,
me,
HP hasn't gotten it right in, I don't know, 40
ever,
years, probably.
ever, ever, ever.
Well,
No, never.
in early, the older HP laser printers.
Yeah, they're cool.
Oh,
They're good.
LJ4.
Crap,
LJ4.
those.
Last
Yeah.
forever. Last forever. There'll be one, you know, like they say about there's going to be a Volvo left when the bomb drops. Well, all the, you know, the place will be wiped out. All the bickies is cockroaches, Twinkies, a Volvo.
And
And there'll be a laser jet four.
Yeah, and there'll be a laser jet 4 sitting in the back, and
Yeah.
it'll
And
work.
it'll still work.
Yeah. So, okay, here's a problem that I see beyond the whole thing of doing IP lock-in. And it's that when companies like HP and Epson and Brother had the opportunity to educate all of us on what exactly is involved in formulating inks and toners and for specific papers and specific printers and print heads and all of that, they didn't. So when they got to the point like HP, where they really started pushing, you have to use HP only with our stuff, and then locked it down, they lost the good faith, the goodwill part of that. And Epson, they did a good job with explaining this to a select segment of the media, which is still actually a bad job, because if the only people you're explaining how this really works to are the journalists that are covering graphic design and printing and publishing, then you're failing your customers, because those journalists are getting their message out to a small subset of people. But I mean, there's a whole thing with, I'm about to repeat myself, so I won't. I will edit myself and continue. Anyhow, they lost the opportunity, and there's no way that any of these companies can come back from that. So I get why Brother would say, "Hey, this cartridge you put in, it's not a Brother original OEM for this device, so you may not see the quality that you're expecting." Totally fine. I'm okay with that. And then when your colors don't exactly match what you're looking for most people it doesn't matter. But for the people it
Yeah,
does, at
that's
least
a
they
really good
know.
point. If they'd have gotten out in front of this and explained, in simple terms, the difference between high quality ink formulations versus the cheap crap that you buy from third parties, and show people printing stuff that looks like crap and say, "This is third party and here's why." And then let people decide, and sure, warn them when you pull up their software and you do recalibration. I think it's fine to say you have a third party cartridge. The results may not be very good. We recommend using our cartridges. Fine.
Yeah, and most people will probably do that.
Yeah. Again, because that's
But
an
you should
entirely
have the
reasonable thing.
choice. Yeah.
A Canon don't seem too bad either. That's the other company where we've got a Canon thing over there that seems to behave itself. I can put third-party cartridges in without it caring.
But to be honest, I especially since I retired, I can't even think of the last time I printed anything, but I scan stuff every week. I get hard copies of stuff that I want to
Same.
scan to keep digital copies. I wish I had a way to count how many times I scanned on my HP printer versus printing. It's probably about 10 to 1.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I use my I bought a Brother printer like a year or 2 years ago, I think, because at some point I was just fed up with like there's like a printer at the post office and I could use that and it's 24/7, but half of the time it was broken or whatever, and I'm like, whatever, I'll just pay $80, buy a
Right.
printer, like done. But yeah, I'm using it, I don't know, once every month and a half or something.
Right.
And I scan, yeah, multiple times a week at least. So,
I'm running a Canon Pixma inkjet printer. I bought it during the lockdown part of the pandemic because
So
I
about
had
50 years ago.
yes, in pandemic years, it's 50 years old. It was one
Yes.
of those things where it's like, oh crap, I actually have to have a printer today. And all the printers are sold out everywhere. I found this thing at one of the big box retailers. It was the only printer they had left, like literally the only piece of inventory for printers. And I'm like, okay, so it's 60, $70. And even if it lasts only long enough to burn through the cartridges it ships with, it's still worth it. I've still got the thing, but it's not plugged in. I have it sitting stashed off to the side. And if I need to print something, I go pull it out, set it on the kitchen counter, plug it in, print, unplug it, and then throw it back in the closet. That's how often I need to use this thing.
Yeah, we've got one in here. I mean, if you're scanning a lot, then you start needing to go for the there was a big thing, some podcast. The two of the Mac podcasters always went on about how you can get the scanner set up and the thing, and you'd scan all your stuff, the paperless
Oh,
guys.
snap scan.
Oh, yes,
I
SnapScan.
have a snap.
Yeah,
Literally,
yeah,
I
yeah.
have a SnapScan that
Max
I
Barkey,
bought
that guy.
12 years ago or something that is still working today. I connected it to my Linux server and I'm literally just scanning everything to my server. It works. Still works.
Okay, now I need to go digging through my closet because I may have one
Oh, I
in a
bet you
box
do.
and I forgot about it, because that's the main reason I haven't just given away the Canon printer. It's because it has a scanner on it.
No, the scan, the SnapScan iX500 that I have works like a charm.
All right, I need to look and see,
Just
because
does it.
if I can find that, if I have that, I can get rid of the printer, because the times that I need to print are rare enough now, and I have other options that are convenient. So I could actually get by without a printer, I think.
I literally have it in my office in a shelf, and there's a big box below it. And I literally, when I come home, any piece of paper or whatever, I throw it in a scanner, press the button, it scans it, and then I throw it in a box. And the box is basically the archive. And then when it's full, I write the dates on it, and then I throw it away in a couple of years when I don't need it anymore. Anything that I don't need after scanning, there's a trash bin right next to it. It goes into that trash can.
That's the way
Okay,
to do
so
it.
the accessory that I'm seeing for you, Patrice, is
It's a
a little it's a,
shredder?
well, it's a feeder that connects to the scanner. So you put the paper in one side, it scans through, pulls it the rest of the way through, and dumps it into the shredder or the box on the other side.
Yeah,
So
but based on what? It needs to decide that
well,
first. It's my input still.
okay, well, for now you're going to have to choose one or the other.
Well,
It's either everything gets shredded or into the box.
it would learn as it scans and it reads the document based on a little bit of training that you gave it up front. It would do it automatically.
It's like invoice,
Right.
We're doing so much development
Perfect.
this tonight. We've done so much development of new technologies. The most smart, we've got a smart ad, we've got a smart ad blocker, and now we've got the
Right.
intelligent scanner that knows
What
what you need and then chucks away the stuff you don't, but still scans it.
did they say on the series Silicon Valley in the pitch? It was always imagine a world.
Exactly. We've
Imagine
done
a
at least
world.
three of those tonight.
Imagine a world
World.
where you can scan and shred all in one
Well,
go.
wouldn't it
Imagine
be
a
good
world.
if?
Imagine a world where your scanner is smarter than you. It knows what you need to do with your documents before you. Needs to be filed? Not a problem. Needs to be destroyed? It's done. Now, with PatriScan 3.0. How is that? You need to do some
You got the
voiceover
pitch.
work,
Yeah,
Jeff.
that's some great voiceover work right there.
So, hey, speaking of voiceover stuff, oh, Patrice, you came up with
I
a
have a
story.
story. Yeah, real quick. I mean, we don't have too
Okay,
much
I was
time,
going
but
to move us on, but you have a story, so giddy up.
I really, really quickly found one. So, it's not. I don't think it's that long, but it's
It's
interesting.
pretty cool, huh?
Volkswagen VW. They have released a really nice and cheap EV. And the interesting thing is, it's built or it uses Rivian software.
Oh,
So,
interesting.
like, it's like a threefer almost. It's called the ID Everyone, and the one is a number. Because yes, what did
Of
you
course
call
it
them?
is,
Man children, man children,
man
babies.
man child, yeah.
man ba man babies. Thank you. Yes.
Man babies indeed.
Yes. But it's a small 4-door hatchback. So think, I guess, what is that? Like a polo or golf or something like that? Probably. I don't know the size exactly, but something at least. I mean, golf is pretty big these days, but who knows? And yeah, it's expected to go into production in 2027. Starting price will be 20,000 euros, so $20,500, 20 at least as of today.
That's
We'll see.
surprisingly inexpensive for the United States.
That
Really
is even
inexpensive.
for Europe and for VW inexpensive. I mean,
Oh, yeah, and
they
for
used to
VW, yeah.
sell. They used to sell Golf. I think Golf was their cheapest car, and that was around. I mean, it was cheaper at some point, probably, but when I remember it, like 10, 15 years ago, 12, yeah, 15 years ago, it was around that price as a starting price. These days, I mean, under, I don't know, 35, you probably don't get it. Like,
Right.
so.
I mean, the up was that it was, and I don't think they're making them anymore,
Yeah,
but
but
the up
even
was.
that one was like 20 grand. Like,
Yeah.
easy. There's a
I mean,
second EV called the ID to All, which is about a couple thousand more, 25,000. Coming, but also coming in a bit earlier, 2026. So
that sounds
they're
good.
calling them the electric urban front-wheel drive cars. Wow, that's a name. Sounds very German.
Very descriptive, yeah.
Yeah, very descriptive. Yeah. Both are for the European market. Well, that is not a surprise. I mean, why have you seen very few like BMW i3s or other small cars in the US? Because if you see them on this like on a highway next to like one of those big Ford F-150s, you think it's a tiny little golf cart and it's gonna get crushed in a second.
Yeah, how many of those can you put in the bed of an
Probably
F-250?
10. Probably 10,
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so is that interesting? The interesting part is the Rivian software. So there's a $5.8 billion joint venture with VW and Rivian, the US EV maker. I guess Rivian needed money.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, Rivian needed money.
Yes. So the software they will basically work together and develop with VW software unit CARIAD, I think it's called. At least what it said here in the article. They will develop the software for it together.
It looks like their joint development center is going to be here in Palo Alto.
Yeah, that makes sense because that's where Rivian is, right? As far as I know, at least the development side
Right.
of Rivian. I think the production isn't the production in Arizona. I always forget.
I'm not sure. We have a lot of Rivian trucks around here, and people seem to like them, and they're sort of the anti-Tesla car of
But I
choice
mean
here.
the point is, I mean, Volkswagen is literally the car for the people. That's what the name
Right.
means.
People's
And
wagon.
I think this is kind of this is literally if I mean if this is any good and it really actually comes out, because who knows, 2026, 2027. But actually 2026 is close enough that they might have it in production already. But I mean, people have been asking for where is the cheap EV? And I
I'm
mean,
one of
China
those
has
people, yeah.
shown. Yeah, and China has shown that it's doable. Certainly, Elon Musk has promised it for the last 50,000 years and never delivered, as usual. I mean, to the point even where they dropped even the lower price ranges at some point. So yeah, this is from a major international or European at least manufacturer. This is quite cool.
Yeah,
Yeah,
but
I mean, there's two
Patricia,
more.
you forgot one thing about Tesla. The market has made the Cybertruck a very affordable electric vehicle because nobody wants to buy them. It's very affordable now. Sorry, Ian.
the specs, not gonna lie, you're not gonna drive cross country probably in the US with that. It's
So
not,
what?
it's a city car.
Yeah,
It is
so what?
like a
That's
two
good.
150 miles, 250 kilometers at least. It can go to about 80. They're saying at least 130 kilometers per hour, 80 miles per hour. Yeah, it's as I said, it's not supposed to be the long range. I take my entire family on a 6 week road trip car. It's not the car for it.
A
It's the
perfect
car
city
for
car.
exactly. You're in a city, you need to go shopping, drop your kids off somewhere, whatever, like little things.
I mean, over here, there's two. There's the Dacia Spring that's coming out. That's going to be really expensive. That's going to be in the same money. And the more interesting one to me, the one I like the look of just because of the nostalgia effect, is the Renault 5. They're bringing out a brand new Renault 5, and that looks really, and it's supposed to be a really good drive as well. It's a nice, it's a nice little car.
Hey
As
Tom,
long as it's
there's
reliable.
another cute British word from Ian that you can add to the list. Renault.
Renault. So there you go.
I would
And
go
that's
with the
it.
French Renault.
Renault.
Yeah,
Renault.
if you're doing it properly, yeah.
In Alabama, it's known as Renault. Yes.
Renault. In Alabama, yeah.
All right.
Silly people,
Cool
silly, silly
story.
people.
I hope they do release that car on schedule and we can get it in the US.
Yeah, that US, I'm
Yes.
not so sure, but they will for sure release it on schedule. VW, I mean, that's one of the things they're usually known for. They're not Tesla, where it's like, hey, we will deliver it in 3 weeks. And they're like, 5 years later, you're still, where's my car?
Right, yeah. Elon. Okay, so we should keep moving because we still have some cool things to hit.
That's too bad.
Patrice, are you in a mood to talk about the chat or should I do it?
Absolutely, and then I have to think about what my cool thing will be. Yeah, we have a really cool live chat that I used earlier. I was watching the stream while I was having my dinner, my Abendbrot, like it's called in German, because we eat like a small dinner in the evening. And it's one of the things. So live.britishtechnetwork.com, that's where you go, and that's where you'll find our live streams. Literally that easy. Point your whatever browser you prefer, as we just talked about it, preferably from the non-Apple, no, not the non-Apple, non-Google side of things, but no, it doesn't matter. It works with everything. And there is the live stream, and right next to it, there's the chat. And when you join it, it gives you a really nice name, like what do I have here? The Brave Ramen, the Radical Austin. Like it just generates really funny
Objective
names sometimes.
Shirley.
Objective Shirley. Yes, surely that is a good name. But if you just want to change your name, you don't like it, a little purple thing up top, there's a button. tap on it, click on it, change name, done. Pick a name. It should, as for a while at least, it should remember it. At some point, like when you come back and whatever, I think after a while the browser just forgets the data, and then you have to reset it. But until then, it's yours. There's even a way to register your name connected to your Fedi account, and that's easier. Long story short, that's our really cool live chat. And if you want to join us when we record live, do so every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time, also 7 p.m. Portugal time, because that's the same. For the big show, and tomorrow, and every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, where we talk about the Apple side of things. And I know tomorrow there's some stuff Apple announced, so I'm pretty sure Jeff, without me, because I'm on a plane at that time, will talk about it with the other really nice group.
Possibly.
Possibly. Let's see. Maybe something else happens until then and you never get to it. Either way, if you need the links to the cool things or the stories, or you just want to see what we talked about, and it's like times past, you're not in live chat, you still want to find it, no worries. We have a tra live transcript, literally live transcript from our chat. All you do are live, whatever that you call it. It's a copy, transcript. Transcript is fine.
Sure.
BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. Go there, pick a date, pick any date, pick preferably Thursday or Friday from the calendar it shows you. And if you select Thursday, March 6, 2025, then you will see what we did in the chat today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. And thank you for fitting us in with your crazy schedule. It's cool that you're able to join us.
I kept my Thursday empty for you, Jeff.
Oh, you're the best. Okay, it's time for some cool things. So, who is first up? And that would be Tom.
Oh. Okay, my cool thing today is a series. It's Zero Day on Netflix. The big star is Robert De Niro. And I think it's fairly new. Early part of February, I think, is when they February release, I guess. So it's a 6-episode series, and it's basically kind of a crime thriller where the crime is a cyber attack on infrastructure, with a political connection, I guess is the safest way to say it. I found it to be pretty good as a thriller, and I love Robert De Niro, so I'm kind of a sucker for everything he does. But I thought it was well produced. The script was pretty good, a little bit rough in some areas, but overall pretty good. I think the tech in it is believable, not probably all realistic, but reasonably believable. And it was kind of an interesting take on what a cyber attack on infrastructure, what the source of that could be, and how it could be used to further somebody's goals. And there were a couple of characters that were pretty fun. The only other actor that I recognized in this series besides De Niro was Angela Bassett, who plays the president of the US. Oh, I guess the woman from the Bourne movies who played Landy, I forget what her name was, the CIA woman. She's in this. I forget her name. She's pretty good in it. Anyway, it's kind of a fun thriller. It's only 6 episodes, pretty quick watch, and it's what occupied my time when I was laid up with my knee.
Awesome. Okay.
That's
Well,
good.
it's on the list now. Ian, tell us about your cool thing.
Yeah, we talked earlier about Pi-hole, which is very much an open source tool. And this is another one, but this is also one where you can buy a subscription and get a service. It's called AdGuard. I've been running AdGuard Home on a home server I have here. So it basically takes the It sits again between the internet and my local network and filters ads out. I say I was able to block out things like those that dreadful admiral things that you've got a bad blocker. Would you like some? Yeah, no, I wouldn't. So we've got, I use that to get rid of it. It's a really good tool. I've had zero issues with it, zero need to teach it that this page is okay, you can go there. I mean, the downsides is, of course, things like advertising links and emails don't work anymore because there's a tracking cookie associated when you click on that to come and look at it. So you can't follow those. So that's a bit annoying, but I'm happy to do away with it. I'm happy to not have that. My wife occasionally grumbles that she needs to play a silly game that she likes on her phone on data so she can get the ads, so you can get the ads to get extra lives and things. But otherwise, really, it's very, very good. You can additionally add to it if you want beyond the ad blocking. You can do get lists to filter porn, to filter, and you can do some amount of parental control in terms of what you're letting allowing it come into the network. So that can be quite nice if that's appropriate for you at home. So it's overall a really good site, good support, good system. I recommend it highly as a way to now continue to use the internet without all the annoyances that come along with it. Plus, they have plugins for iOS, Mac, Android. If you want to run an additional add-on on your PC or thing, if you can't run, say, a Pi hole, we're running this thing because it'll run on a Pi hole, or run a Raspberry Pi rather, or a small PC or whatever. But highly recommend it.
So, do you have to run this on every device, or each device has to run it, or can one device cover the whole network?
You would install it on a server that then takes the place of DNS on your network to make it
I
run. So
see.
that's how I'm doing it. It sits on one of my machines and it serves DNS. So any client that connects to any of our things, their DNS routes through the
I
ad
get
guard
it.
and it filters the ad out.
I
So
got it.
you'd want to do what Jeff was talking about earlier on, but buy a Raspberry Pi or have a one of those mini PCs a lot of people are picking up at the moment. And use
Can
that
run
as
it,
something
yeah.
to sit between you and the internet to deal with that. But you can get a traditional application you can run on each PC that would do the same relative task. But I recommend this one highly. It's very good.
Nice. And I do like that you can buy appliances for this now because there are people that want that but don't feel comfortable getting into a command line and setting stuff up themselves. So there we
Yeah.
go. Okay, Patrice, your turn, and I wish I had mine sitting on my desk right now.
I had to go grab it real quick. So mine is a QWERTY pen. I've had for a not a really long time. I've had it for a while,
About
but
a
I've had it on my
year, I
list
think.
about a year, I guess. Could be, possible, maybe a little less. I have to thank Jeff especially for that because it was a Kickstarter he introduced me to, and I never do Kickstarters and I don't care about pens much, but I saw this and I was like, wow, I gotta get that. So it's the Namisu, I think is the company's name. It's a British company as far as I know. It's the Nova fountain pen. So it's like I know it's like looks like
Ooh,
this.
that looks just
It
like
comes in.
mine.
It looks just like theirs. They have usually three different finishes. They had actually, I think, four in the Kickstarter, but I think they have only three right now. But the only one you can get is the petroleum right now. The others are coming back, I think, in April, so they're probably sold out or something.
Oh, that's
But it's a really
nice.
nice fountain pen. The cool thing is, it is really small, like because you put the end basically used as a cap, and then it is really tiny. It's like a pocket pen.
That is
They
small.
have optionally you can buy a little sleeve for that if you want, and they work really well. Like they have different nibs, what I've learned from Jeff. And I got some red ink. I don't know why, but I think some ink spilled into the end, so I have to clean that up. So yeah, and they also have, and I have that the second thing, they have a ball, like a ball pen if you want as well. There's, I think you could even switch it if you wanted to. But I just bought a second one. I was like, why would I want to switch all the time? This is stupid. I can
Sure.
just buy two.
Yeah, that's
They're
for
about
sure.
$100, whatever that is. 100, I saw 100 euros. I'm assuming it's about the same in almost every, like, shipping not included, of course. So really cool. I really love them, and I'm very, very thankful that Jeff introduced me to it and kind of convinced me this was something I should do because I really like it and I carry them everywhere with me. I
Mine
don't
goes
ride a
everywhere.
lot, but I literally just take them with me. They're literally in my purse all the time. No matter if I switch purses, I take them with me. I take them out, I put them in a new place.
So
Well,
Jeff,
question, how big is it
Jeff.
when it's capped, when you're writing with it?
When it's capped,
Oh, so
let
capped,
me
it's smaller,
see.
isn't it? Yeah, it's tiny.
It's
But
definitely
sorry, I
smaller.
meant
So
the
what
wrong
would
way
that
round when you've
be?
got the. So,
10, what is that? Maybe
yeah.
10, 5, 10 centimeters,
Oh, that's all
maybe?
right. Yeah. And then if you've got, sorry, I'm all meant because, again, hands like shovels,
Mm-hmm.
whether I can actually write with it.
I mean,
Yeah.
I have pretty big hands too, and
But when you
they're
post the
pretty
cap,
good. Oh, no, yes.
it's a nice length
It's a
and
nice
balance as well.
size.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's actually a reasonable size. It'll rest on the. Well, I don't. I was
It's
still to
built up.
write. I got in trouble if I rested the pen on the the bit of my
No,
hand.
it
It,
works
you know,
just
it's.
fine. So it's pretty reasonable size. That's what I liked about it because it's a pocket pen, so it's like it really, really compact, fits in the smallest places.
That's
So I have that
nice.
little sleeve, I put it in there. But if you need a full pen, I literally like I go places and they give me a pen and I'm like, no, I'll take mine out.
And then they're
That's the
super
person I am.
impressed.
They see it and they really, I mean, the color, that's why I want petroleum. I think, didn't I convince you, Jeff, to do
You
petroleum as well?
did. I was
Yeah.
going to do like the bead blasted titanium.
Yeah. And I was like, no, this is the right
And
color.
I'm so glad that I've listened to you because that
Yes.
petroleum finish is super cool.
Yeah. It's like for the people listening, it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of how to explain it. It's kind of almost rainbow colored. It's like purple and a little bit of like blue and green in it, and like it shimmers. And if you different lighting, give it different colors, and it's just beautiful. Like you could see that a little bit
Yeah,
in the
and it
pen. I'm
also
getting
means
into
no two
pens
pens are the
again.
same.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's cool.
Which I like. Like I
So,
have one
Jeff,
set. I could.
I'm getting this distinct impression that you're sort of a pusher of fountain pens. You've got Patrisse hooked.
You
Is
can see
this
that
is?
they're not exactly the same.
Yeah.
Do
So, Tom,
you go
the
around
pen
and
that
give little kids fountain pens and say the
it's like, yeah, try this.
first one's free. Right,
Oh, that's
right.
funny.
And then I give them a link to my page. Yeah. So now I've got my my Pilot Vanishing Point. That's what I'm using right now. So Vanishing Point because can't see the tip, but it's a click top, and
Oh,
then
cool.
the fountain point tip comes out.
That's
And
pretty
then
cool.
sitting here is a backup pen for just in case. This is my Lamy Safari. This was an experiment for me. I bought this pen with a left-handed nib to see if it would make any difference.
And did
No.
it? So next time you just
But that's okay.
You tried.
It's
Yeah, you had to
so,
try it.
yeah. And then my other fountain pens are, most of them are on the in a holder in the shelf over here. And a couple of them are in the closet.
So, Jeff,
Yeah,
let's
see.
hold up your fingers. How much ink do you have on your fingers as you're
Today,
walking?
I
None.
have some.
But
That's
that's
pretty good.
because I refilled this one, I don't know, like 3 days ago. So the ink that was on my fingers, I've already,
Yeah.
it's already worn
So
off.
to mention, these fit standard, whatever cartridges are they called, right?
Standard international cartridge.
Yeah. So you don't have to fill them if you don't
Oh,
want to. There's
good.
converters, you
Okay.
can buy that if that's something you want. But
I
standard, it
don't
even
know if a
comes with
converter
two.
will fit in that
There's
because.
they say it does. Yes, it's
Oh,
possible.
all right.
Yeah,
Well,
but as I said, like
cool.
you don't have to, and it comes with I think two even. So just to
Yeah, it
get
comes
used to
with a
it.
couple cartridges. Yeah.
And then you
But
could just go out to
does it
any store that has them and buy them.
Does it do an IP check like HP to make sure it's authentic? Oh, hopefully.
No,
No.
I bought. Wait a second. Do I have that with me? It's probably in the other place. I bought it's a German company, Faber-Castell,
Oh yeah.
which also
Oh
makes
yeah.
really good pencils, like colored pencils and whatever. And I bought from them, and I really like that red. I have red ink in them. I have two different reds that I'm trying, and I really love them.
I'm using Kawako cartridges in mine, and I've got the box sitting right here because
I took it
I
with me.
only
I just
have
don't know
like
where I
two
put it.
boxes left, so I better order some more. And yeah. Patrice, if you're getting ink that like you take the cap off and there's ink, check and make sure that the feed is seated tight in the section.
Yeah.
Because I had the same problem, and I think at some point when I put a new cartridge in, I pushed too hard, and so it pushed the feed forward just a little bit.
Okay, I'll definitely check that because that is possible, yeah.
I
I've
think
been
I saw.
traveling with them as well, so.
I think I saw your article, Jeff, on iFixit for fountain pens.
Right, yes. I loved the X-rays too. It was great to see.
They get the scanning electron microscope views of your new fountain pen. I love
Right. Yes. I fully approve of Patrice's pick.
it.
I use
Good.
mine all the time.
Yes, really good, really good.
Yep. Okay, so I guess it means it's my turn, and my turn or my pick is Daredevil Born Again. So it's the new Daredevil TV series on Disney Plus. And when the Daredevil series started, it's a Marvel TV series, it was on Netflix. And then Disney, they got all the Marvel properties, and so eventually they moved all of those properties to Disney Plus. The original Daredevil series, very violent. It was re really good, really interesting stories, but very violent. And so I've been concerned about what was going to happen with Daredevil Born Again, same cast, but as a Disney original series. And I have to say, I was quite surprised to find out that this is just as violent
Really?
as it was on Netflix. Yeah.
That's surprising.
This is not a show that I would even remotely consider letting kids watch. Like, make sure they're at least a teenager before you put them into this, because
All right.
this is an adult show with adult violence. It's not gratuitous gore, but it's like, what
It's
would
adult
happen?
violence.
It's adult violence. What would happen if you had someone who was a very skilled fighter and fought to win all the time? What kind of mess would that create for the people they're fighting? And that's what you get to see.
That's kind of unusual for Disney, isn't it?
Well, it
Or
used to
isn't?
be unusual, but now they're doing very adult things. I mean, they did the Deadpool and Wolverine movie, and they let that be exactly what a Deadpool movie is.
Have you
True.
seen
Yeah.
Alice in
True.
Wonderland? Like,
Right.
have you
Yeah,
seen that?
right.
That's nightmare fuel. So, like,
Yeah. So, anyhow, first two episodes dropped at the same time on Tuesday this week, I think it was. So, an episode a week, and it's very well done. And so far they're doing, I think, a very nice job of tying back to the original series. And then tying into the things that Daredevil tied into in other shows and movies that came along between the original series and now. So there you go. Daredevil Born Again. If you do not have a stomach for violent TV shows, then do not watch this.
Do not watch this at all.
Yeah. All right. So with that, it is now time to wrap up. And Patrice, since you weren't here to say hi at the beginning, hi, it's so great that you're here
Hi.
with us today. Why don't you start us off with where people can find you?
Almost every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Fridays, except for tomorrow and whenever I'm traveling, because then I'm usually on a plane somewhere or doing something else, work, work, work. So there's that. Everything I'm doing on thepatrice.com, social media links, podcasts, projects, literally everything. And Jeff and I have a really cool podcast, and I think we're going to record another episode shortly. Retro Rewatch, where we rewatch, and I show my logo that I have on my iPhone case, the logo, the sticker. Yeah, we rewatch Stargate SG-1 right now, and we're having a lot of fun. We published, or I finally got around to publishing, Thor's Hammer on Sunday, I think. Was it Sunday? Might have been
Thor's
Monday, my time
Chariot.
at least. Thor's Chariot. What did I say? Thor's
You
Hammer.
said
Yes,
Thor's
Thor's
Hammer.
Chariot.
But
Yes.
you know, if I
It's a
hadn't said
follow-up
anything,
story.
everyone would have
So,
been okay.
yeah,
I
it's
should have
Thor's
just kept my mouth
Chariot.
shut.
Yes. Yes. So, tomorrow, unless I've managed to do between like all the courses and learning and stuff that I'm doing for my pilot's license, I'm not sure I'll manage to do edit an episode today. So it might be also again this weekend
Cool.
until I get around to that. But I should be able to, or we will be able to publish the next episode later this week. And that will be, if I could remember what the next one would be easier, but okay. Episode 7, Message in a Bottle.
Okay.
Jeff's like, okay.
It's, I remember that
He
one.
does remember it. Okay.
Don't take my reaction to be a review of the episode.
Our episode was great. The show, the whether the what we rated the actual SG-1 episode, well, I guess you'll have to listen to that.
There you go. Yep. Awesome. All right, Tom, where can people find you when you're not busy getting stoned after arthroscopic surgery?
I'm gonna get a reputation here. People can find
Too
me on
late.
Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Ian Grant. I work for Veeam. Look for me there. Otherwise, I'm in the Slack room sometimes, posting the odd meme. And that's about it, really. Usual places, and always I'm here on Thursdays.
Okay, and I guess it's my turn now. So, social medias, Jay Gamut on all of them. I'm posting on Mastodon and Pixel Fed and Blue Sky. And then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS, here for the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And then, as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. So with that, thank you to all three of you for being here and just making this just so much fun for me. You rock, all of you. Everyone that's watching, listening live, thank you for being part of this as well. If you've been in the live chat, thank you for participating with us. And everyone that watches and listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And with that, I believe it is now time to say, hey, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. Then come back again next Thursday for the Big Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.